Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com. Thank you for joining me for another Blunt Business here on CannabisRadio.com, which is powered by the Buzz CRM. Stop juggling multiple marketing tools and ditch those expensive subscriptions, because the Buzz CRM is going to be your all-in-one solution. 500 tools to manage every aspect of your marketing. We've gone through this. Effortless automation, personalized workflows, omnichannel reach, data-driven decisions, and also a unique missed call text-back feature. Listen, I've used it. Our team uses it. It's effective. Multitasking, whatever you need to go and do to reach out to leads, to reach out to those you're working with right now as clients, all of it in one place, the Buzz CRM. You can go ahead and whatever kind of business you have, you can go ahead and use it for yourself. TheBuzzCRM.com. Once again, go ahead and find out more about it today. TheBuzzCRM.com today to learn more. On the program today, I'm going to go ahead and go to a monologue, and I want to go ahead and give a take and roll through all of the cannabis-related initiatives, amendments that were proposed as they were put up to vote, which might have underscored what was the 2024 presidential election. The general election, obviously the presidential election was the major spotlight, as President Donald Trump has been now voted in as the 47th president of the United States, to be inaugurated and to be assuming the oath of office January 20th, already working on cabinet appointments, already working on getting his staffing and his administration set to jump and hit the ground running once January 20th approaches. And that's what it looks like right now. A number of things that are being said about how the Senate, they want to go ahead and have the majority leader of the Senate, which will go ahead and implement what the agenda of the Senate is going to be. What's happening now? We haven't had, I mean, really since, I want to say, the Obama administration, because of having, what, the House, the Senate, and the presidency all in one. And when President Obama was in office, there were a number of things they were able to go ahead and initiate. Obamacare was one, obviously. The Affordable Health Care Act, which is still a standing law today. But now, that's beside the point. The fact of the matter is that there are going to be a lot of bills that might have been just stagnant, that it might have been written, that it might have been able to be put up for a vote, that within 2 years, that administration is going to try to get as much policy pushed through, because they have the numbers in every branch, from Congress to the presidency, they can do that. with not much pushback, because if these votes, if the votes needed to go ahead and get the bills passed, just need to go and go through a simple majority, they can pass them. That's what's going on right now. Not a filibuster in place. Now, I don't know everything about where all those rules go in anyways, but the thing is that we all ask ourselves, after the initial initiatives and all the state legislation that we're trying to see is being added on for consumers all across the country, as the state solution continues on, we're looking to go and see more and more states greenlit for adult use cannabis or medicinal. And that's what we're going to today. So there were several initiatives that were put in place, and we're going to go through all of them. Now, the major one that was looked at for the state of Florida, which I am at, and I talked quite a bit with a number of people here on the program, with the initial thought and the prediction that I thought Florida was going to be able to go and get it passed. I thought they would make the majority necessary. It was required a 60% majority. It only got 56% support from voters. And we could try to ask as to why that happened, but there was a majority backing, but the initiative did not make the finish line. Last time, it didn't even make it onto the ballot. There were a number of issues where the Florida Supreme Court did not take the petition initially from Spartan State, Florida. This time, they took it. I guess there's just something about, well, there might be just some other things that would be brought on. And let me tell you, Spartan State, Florida, you know, they had a lot of money for their campaign. They put a lot of ads out there. They advertised any initiatives that were put out there, which wasn't until the very last couple of weeks where there was any anti-sentiment for cannabis legalization. And the ads weren't even that effective. But what I saw of the pro-cannabis ads in the state of Florida, which included from a podcast, the Lex Fridman podcast that President Trump was on, he saw that the medical marijuana program in Florida was working well, and he was in support of it. So that was used in the advertising to go ahead and push Amendment 3 across the finish line. It would have aimed to legalize adult use cannabis. Well, did not happen. You know, it's also the part where if you just focus on the southern portion of Florida, south of the I-4 corridor, that's most likely why that amendment did not make it through for 60% supermajority. It's just what happens. Now, at the same time, another amendment was also very prominent because of the election cycle, abortion. The abortion bill for Florida was also put into play same time, Amendment 4. And honestly, the presidential election and Amendment 4, I would say they superseded anything else in the state of Florida as what was really focused on for folks out there that are paying attention, because the advertising was dominated in the state of Florida. Whether you're watching local news or you're watching some geo-targeted ads online, it was Amendment 4, some of Amendment 3, but it was just not as much. And I don't think anybody was really paying attention to it. So if there was the real advocacy for that, I think there has to be something where, I guess, the petitioning the next time around, if there's another amendment opportunity in 4 years, or is in 2 years, it's got to be 4 years because it has to be done in a presidential election cycle. It's going to be in every 4 years. So Florida will have to wait till 2028. What do you add to that amendment the next time around to try to get it passed? Because I think they're going to try to do it again. Or the medical program as it is, there obviously, what would have been the change? Obviously, more windfall for the companies. Would it have taken cultivation a little bit too expansive? Would it have been too much for people to go ahead and go and see all the dispensaries around and more licensing going around as it already is? Is it too much of a burden for Florida to go ahead and allow people to go ahead and order and buy cannabis without a medical marijuana card? And I guess to say the Florida, it's going to feel like, well, they're going to keep that. But I mean, the cannabis industry's here in Florida. The fact they didn't get the adult use, I guess that's how it's going to be. Now, later on in the program, we'll talk about if something could be done on a federal level now that we have the Trump administration that's going to be coming into office January next year. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. The meantime, the next state that came up was Nebraska. There was two initiatives, 437 and 438, which established a legal framework for medical cannabis use and creating a regulatory structure for cannabis businesses. By the way, we have a new writer on board with Cannabis Radio, and if you go to the news section on our website, cannabisradio.com, you'll see Mia Blackman, who's a contributing author, and she has been putting out some great stories there, and she did put a full rundown of what happened to the state by state initiatives and amendment opportunities that were available for cannabis this election cycle. Please go ahead and read that on the website and look for it. Trill did a great job. So what happens now is it was a legal framework was being established for medical cannabis and a regulatory structure for cannabis businesses. So we now have medical cannabis in Nebraska. Nebraska becomes the 39th state to allow. And legal challenges related to the validity of petition signatures might remain, so there might be a delay in implementation. But either which way, Nebraska will now soon become a medical cannabis state. Then we had several adult use cannabis initiatives in, or measures that were set into the North and South Dakota. So for North Dakota, it was Measure 5, South Dakota, Measure 29, permitting adult use cannabis. They were narrowly defeated. Also, as well, they needed a supermajority to go ahead and have it pushed across. Now, it was passed in South Dakota in 2020, but overturned on technical grounds. So, not much to put on the scoreboard for cannabis this go-around in the election year. In 2022, it was much better. We talked about that before here on Blunt Business, but in 2024, it wasn't. But I think it's also because the focus of voters out there was much different. There were just certain things that were not prioritized this time around. That's what it looked like. A very polarizing election, if I must say. And, you know, you can see where the turnout came in. Still about the same turnout of Americans coming to the polls, about 160 million Americans. And it was a switch. Like, I mean, we're seeing right now, based on the voters' turnout, and based on what was done, it's in a realignment from a political standpoint. But I think that's where some people are looking at this and asking themselves, well, does that really make a difference for federal legalization and just, you know, anything that will help benefit the cannabis industry? Because there are two things we're all thinking about. Is there going to be any chance that the new administration and the change in the congressional status, right? You have a majority again in the Senate. The House, they have not officially, as of press time, said that they have the House votes right now where the Republicans will control the House as of yet. But it is being predicted and estimated that they will have enough votes to pass 218 representatives to have the majority in the House. So we're looking at that. We're waiting on that. They're going to see what happens. But in the meantime, could anything be done to further the cause? If there's so much that's being done in terms of going through the bill processes, having all these bills that were wanted, that were planned to be pushed in front, listen, for the president coming, the president elect, the plan is a lot of different measures are going to be done in terms of what they were going to do for the immigration status, for inflation in the economy. But then one thing is that there's a lot of things being done via executive orders. But once they get to the part where Congress is going to be presented bills and they're going to go through the normal process to bring them forward, I feel like whether people like it or not, let's make that caveat clear, whether people like it or not, bills are going to get, Congress is going to be much more active than it has been. And I think it's because, you know, as it's been stated in the press, the impact of the vote was a mandate. So the current administration and the House and Senate under Republican control, they feel mandated by the American people to move forward. And so there should be a lot of lockstep amongst that group. And one of the things they also had a support in, which we've seen from various representative colleagues, whether it was Cory Gardner or whether it was Nancy Mace or others that have put out bills to legalize cannabis. Now, it might be more of an economical standpoint than it would be from a decriminalization standpoint. We know on both sides, there are differing opinions as to what should be in the bill and what should be included. We know about that. We're going to talk about now what the press has been saying so far from the cannabis industry and from the national standpoint, what will happen, what could happen under a Trump administration that people are really aware about or one we really want to know about. Now, for me, like I said, I'm apolitical here. I'm just looking to see what benefits the cannabis industry right here, regardless of political bias. But I also understand that this audience, you know, we have never tried to go ahead and, you know, dissuade anyone from the opinions that are expressed by our hosts or the guests that appear on the program. We have never said anything about their political bias. That, you know, people will have their say here. We're not censoring, we're not changing anything out. Everything has always been that way. And for us, we like to stay apolitical. I mean, we might have our opinions, but it doesn't affect that on the air, the way we deliver our content. So I know that our audience is the same way. You have your own political opinions on how you feel about this, whether you thought this was a win or a loss, and the way you might feel, you know, in whatever way you feel possible. Because obviously this was a big of a sea change. It was a significant impact, and people are definitely directly affected by this, or indirectly affected in a lot of different ways. But either which way, when we look at the election and look back at it, there was progress and resistance in states in favor of medical use, expanding frameworks. Adult use encountered more obstacles, which was very interesting this time around, especially in traditionally conservative regions. So this emphasizes the complexity of cannabis reform efforts in the U.S., where its differing state laws, voter thresholds, and political climates impacted the outcomes of cannabis legalization objectives. So that's where we're at, and that's where we stand right now on what was happening. Now, we had others that were put in here. Like I said, there was the two Nebraska initiatives, Florida, North and South Dakota. Also, we can make mention of Arkansas had issue 3, but votes were not counted on that. And that's everything that we have on that so far. Now, we're going to go to a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue about what will come now of a couple of different things. Number one, the rescheduling process, because we know that right now there's still another 90 days or so before the Biden administration will be finishing, you know, President Biden won't be finishing his term. And obviously now Congress in the current set is going to try to be able to get some things pushed across before everything's all said and done. And one of the areas that was being talked about during the election that was asked of from Vice President Kamala Harris was, where was the DEA on rescheduling and where was the delay coming from? And she, you know, expressed that there was a delay there and saw that was something that was an issue that needed to be addressed. But what can they address right now before the change in the presidency? That's what you got to ask yourself and see what can be done with that. So we will address that. And what kind of other measures could come from the new administration now that we have this change? What are people talking about it within the industry? And what are people saying in the news that are in the know? We're going to come back with more Blunt Business talking about the post-election fallout for the cannabis industry. We're back after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. No guest today. We're going to talk about here, and we're continuing to talk about the post-election fallout for the cannabis industry and what became of what happened. So we're going through all that right now. One of the areas we have, and most recently was discussed and updated about, MJ Biz Daily has been on top of this, about the DEA now picking 25 to participate in a cannabis rescheduling hearing. So from what they said, that there were designated participants who are going to be testifying at a December 2nd hearing about this. And before, as we've talked about many times on the program, the DEA can go ahead and move cannabis from Schedule 1 to Schedule 3 of the Controlled Substances Act. DEA Administrator Ann Milgram says the order of the matter go before an administrative law judge. So these 25 participants will appear before DEA Chief Administrative Law Judge John Mulrooney, who has been in that position since 2009, and the participants will come prepared with January to February 2025 availability dates for participants and counsel to appear. This is going to be happening just under 7 weeks before President Biden leaves office. So Biden, as Biden vacates the White House on Inauguration Day, cannabis will still be Schedule 1. So there's a delay. Now, some of the other organizations that obviously have their ears to D.C., David Culver, Senior Vice President of the U.S. Cannabis Council, says, quote, while we're disappointed to see a potential delay, we remain confident in the process. So there's obviously people that feel like, will there be any disruption because of the new impending administration? If there's changes to the DEA in terms of who's managing it, changes to the judges, changes to the whole department altogether, will there be something there? We know that there obviously there are some things within that will be discussed, because we know that we look at Bobby Kennedy Jr., who, you know, in his initiative under the Trump administration is looking to do things in terms of drugs, of health, and various issues of science in that respect. So that if he is involved, or the people that he has under his purview are going to be involved in the DEA, people are going to want to consider, will they do anything about getting themselves involved here. But we know that Kennedy has been spoken about various, you know, other normalities that are available instead of going through pharmaceutical options. So cannabis could still be considered, but I'm not going to go ahead and get into details or make any confirmation here. It's just what I've noticed and what I've read. So if you want to look on the MJ Biz Daily website under this story about 25 witnesses being tapped, they have people that have already been put in for this, and now we're just waiting to find out what happens. The recipients must file by November 12th a brief notice indicating among other requirements. So there was time to get this done. October 2022, the executive order from President Biden to expeditiously review cannabis' status under federal law. We know there were a number of medical professionals that also gave their take and put a formal letter to...
231. That's the average number of apps used by many companies. This leads to a lot of context and tab switching that drains employee focus and costs your company. Grammarly can help. Grammarly's AI works in over 500,000 apps and websites, making it easy for your team to write clearly and on brand without disrupting workflow. Join 70,000 teams who save an average of $5,000 per employee per year using Grammarly. Go to grammarly.com/enterprise to learn more.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
DEA and HHS to make sure that, you know, they are in approval and advocating for the proposed removal of the proposed change to Schedule 3. But right now, we were waiting for the process, the review process. It was going to be done. Like right now, the executive order was put in place. Can it be reversed? I mean, that's the only thing, if it would be reversed, if that's something that's going to be considered. But I don't know if it will be. But now, in the political influence of this prior to the election, both nominees had indicated support for the process. But the timing is likely to disappoint plant-touching cannabis businesses who will have to wait longer than expected for the federal tax relief, the removal of the Section 280E of the Internal Revenue Code that all these companies are dealing with. So we're going to have to wait another year for tax write-offs. That's the part that really hurts for everybody, is the delay. But more importantly, will there be anything that will affect the furthering of this executive order? Will it just continue to go through, and will the DEA go forward? And does the DEA have the autonomy now, after the executive order has been put in place, to just go ahead and implement and to move forward and then create the approval as such? I don't know. But I want to find out where that comes from, and we'll continue to follow the story and see what happens. Well, it's me, the Green Market Report. They actually put out the story flat out. Would a Trump win mean, what would it mean for the U.S. cannabis industry? So there were executives out there to express hope that the incoming president will hold to a campaign pledge of supporting rescheduling, the SAFE Banking Act, and other marijuana reforms. So there was a promise of supporting the federal rescheduling process, the SAFE Banking Act, and other common sense laws, as the president-elect put it in at the time. So he is reported to say that he is in support of this. But in the next few years, it could be transformative for the U.S. marijuana trade because rescheduling falls short of full federal legalization. Well, we know that. But will it still be allowed to go ahead and move forward? So there's been concern, according to Green Market Report, about the announcement that he could decide to cancel altogether if he won re-election because the process is under the purview of the U.S. Department of Justice. But there's nothing that's binding Trump or whoever he appoints as the new attorney general from calling the, off the process entirely, since it won't be finished until sometime next year after Trump takes office. And also, at this point of press time, we have no idea. There has been no announcement officially of who will be attaining the position of attorney general. That has not been announced yet. There's only rumors. That's all we have so far. U.S. Cannabis Council came out with a statement last week saying that the community has every reason to be optimistic with President-elect Trump returning to the White House, and that they look forward to working with the administration to advance meaningful federal reform. LA-based consultant Avis Babulian says that reform, quote, was going to happen within the next administration regardless of who won. The question was more about what that reform would look like, and that with Trump, he predicts it'll be more of a libertarian-bent reform compared to what Harris had proposed, which he said may have been federal legalization replete with, quote, overbearing regulations and heavy taxes, end quote. Anthony Coniglio, who's been appearing on the program here a couple months ago, he says the September pledge sets the stage, quote, for potential reform in the upcoming Congress, and that there's a wild card that's yet to be played right now. The GOP hasn't picked the majority leader in the Senate yet. Control of the House is still undetermined. Then there's several House races yet to be called. Right. So we still need to see where the House is set. And more notably, okay, in the current state right now, as I'm recording this program to put out on Wednesday, we know that the, and this might not be highly reported, but the Senate Majority Leader, the outgoing Senate Majority Leader, Mitch McConnell, he's leaving and he's trying to appoint a successor. Two people that he has in mind that are being put up for a vote, which was being put up as a secret vote, are Senators John Cornyn and John Thune. But the people that support Trump and the more of the populist nationalist approach, more of the states mentioned approach, the idea is that they're looking at something else. Notably, Senator Rick Scott from Florida would be a choice that will be best served, according to the reports, to lay out the agenda that which is President Trump's agenda and move it forward. Meanwhile, Cornyn and Thune would be considered deterrents because they are not in line with President Trump's administration or the agenda thereof. And they might be in some respects, but not all of it. And so they would obviously want to be able to go and hold things back and really slow down the process of what can happen here. But that's also a lot of politics. I'm not getting into that either. Safe Harbor Financial and Tyler Berline, the Chief Strategic Business Development Officer, you might have heard him on Green Peak, says, quote, that the Trump administration would likely place greater emphasis on state autonomy and deregulatory measures, potentially reinforcing a state-led approach to cannabis policy. I've always said States Act was always a wonderful thing. If we did have it, and I'm wondering what the audience would think, just putting it out there, if, in fact, this administration and this set of the next Congress, if they chose to go with the States Act, which was an act that, I don't know if it gets brought back up once again, the same one, it was a bipartisan bill written by Senators Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, Cory Gardner of, I forget which state, it misses me right now, but I know the States Act was a state solution where, you know, it's dependent upon the states on what they want to do with their programs, but legalization should be put in place. And then I guess maybe some measures will be put in to allow interstate commerce and allowing companies to go ahead and be able to go ahead and expand nationally. I think that would be something that would be put there. We'll see what happens, but that there would still be significant barriers for businesses, including the banking sector, without action from Congress. But partisan gridlock in both chambers has some stakeholders pessimistic about the odds of federal reform happening anytime soon. But I think what people have to go and think of that might be positive is that we might not have partisan gridlock because we're going to have both branches of Congress with majority support for one side. And maybe they go ahead and go forward with what they're going to do. And like I said, if there is so much that's going to be done in the administration going forward, because regardless of what you like about the plans going forward, if you don't, what they are going to do is they're going to be moving things along very expeditiously. I think we're going to see a lot of movement, a lot of progress, and an actual action, I think, from Congress as opposed to other times. You know, it will have been years to see Congress might actually try to work on getting some laws passed, whether they're going to be laws that people will like or not, that's depending upon you, but I'm just saying they will actually be doing something, which is more than I can say that's been done for the last 30 years overall, because we've had a lot of stagnation in Congress. And there's a reason why Congress has had a lower approval rating year after year for a long time. And that's what happens now. The cannabis investment firm Poseidon said that they think the courts may be one of the real avenues to force further change. It's hanging some of its hopes on a federal lawsuit brought by several cannabis companies, which will have a hearing with the First Circuit Court of Appeals next month. Now, there's more that we could talk about this, because the other thing that's been talked about that, you know, recent history, going back to 2016, we know that there were a lot of issues with the Cole memo and the first attorney general in the Trump administration, which was Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions. So let's talk about the fact of that importance of who that next attorney general is going to be and what they decided to go and do forward. And we'll go more into what the industry commentary is about this. We'll talk about that more after a short break. More blunt business and the fallout of the 2024 general election and where cannabis stands today. We'll talk about now that and final things after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more blunt business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. We're talking about the 2024 election and where cannabis stands now. I want to bring up something more than the Green Market Report and their story about what does a Trump win mean for the U.S. cannabis industry. I want to make something a point right here that was being talked about from those that might be concerned about how Trump dealt with cannabis in his first term and what will possibly change, which I think will change in the second term. So he's never had a specific policy on cannabis reform. His first attorney general in 2018, former Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions, rescinded federal policy memos issuing under the Obama administration, the Cole memo. And it was taken at the time as broadly anti-cannabis. Trump fired Sessions just a few months later because he declined to really take any serious action against states that had set up operational cannabis markets despite the ongoing legal tension between federal prohibition and a state-level cannabis trade. The thing was, Sessions was not going along with the agenda of President Trump. And there was a lot of pushback on what was going on within, because a lot of pushback within the Republican Party itself and the Democratic Party. There was a lot of people that, even though President Trump made it in, you know, Congress was still in a way that it was, it might have had Senate and House, but there were a lot of people that were not happy from the policymakers to see President Trump in office. So there was a lot of gridlock within his own party where certain things could not happen. So even getting to the part of cannabis, never got to that point. At the end of his first term, President Trump did pardon several convicts of cannabis crimes, which would suggest he's quite open to bolstering cannabis reform in general, and by extension, the industry. Now, I want to take from NPR, who recently just wrote the story about this earlier this week, about what he has said about cannabis. And what he has said, he is affirming that he supports legalizing the recreational use of marijuana, aligning itself with Vice President Harris. Quote, I believe it is time to end needless arrests and incarceration for adults of small amounts of cannabis or marijuana for personal use, he said in a post in Truth Social. Close also wrote, quote, we must also implement smart regulations while providing access for adults to safe tested product. And he said he would vote yes on the adult use cannabis ballot question, which did fall short of a 60% threshold, and suggested that Biden's cannabis policy might remain intact. So he says also, quote, as president, this is, you know, we have him on in quotations. He is quoted as saying that we will continue to focus as president to focus on research to unlock the medical uses of marijuana to a Schedule III drug and work with Congress to pass common sense laws, including safe banking for state authorized companies. He's saying it. I mean, everybody can go and determine themselves if that's a promise he's going to keep. But there were a lot of things he said he was going to promise on the campaign trail in 2016. And there were a number of things that were accomplished. So maybe not all promises kept, but there were some that were done. And at least what he was able to do in the current state of what he had in that administration. Now, NPR did reach out to the Trump transition team for response to address cannabis policy specifically, but his team said, quote, they will implement the promises he made on the campaign trail. So not really saying much into that. And so there has still been a number of people that have talked about where things might go for cannabis. And also we should also make mention of psychedelics as well. MAPS and Ismaili J.L. Ali, Ismail El Ali, Director of Policy and Advocacy for MAPS, made the point and said that former President Donald Trump demonstrated a mixed approach to drug policy in his first term. He did sign the First Step Act in 2018, codifying and expanding criminal justice reforms, and the Right to Try Act, which permits access to pre-approved treatments, although whether or not Schedule I drugs like MDMA and psilocybin are included in that remit remains to be seen. Nonetheless, much of his overall drug policy reinforced disproven prohibitionist values, especially with regard to criminal enforcement and supply-side drug control. Rhetoric often focuses on counterproductive punitive measures, including aggressive policing and border control policies that inaccurately link the drug crisis to immigration policy. Whether Trump wants to admit it or not, the nationwide mental health crisis leading to substance abuse disorders, overdoses, and suicides is ours to solve. But they're cautiously optimistic going on to the statement now about the possibility of continued funding for psychedelic research through Congress and federal agencies like the Veterans Administration and National Institute of Health. His alliances could put the issue at the forefront of the next administration's public and mental health policies, while this has potential to create opportunities for access to care and regulatory progress. The regulation of federal pharmaceutical regulatory oversight could have far-reaching detrimental consequences for America's health and safety. While we agree the need for psychedelic care is urgent, we also caution against unethical or irresponsible dismantling of federal regulations that protect patients. We hope the administration will seek input and listen to stakeholders from Congress, in Congress across the aisle, and among communities of patients, providers, and caregivers. Adam Wilkes, who is with Karma Holdco, we talked to him on the program. He says the president-elect's victory marks a pivotal moment because the support for federal cannabis reform marks a pivotal moment for the industry, along with the cultural shift that Karma has championed from the beginning, and seeing a new era where cannabis can be fully embraced for its potential to inspire, heal, and bring people together. Jedbron Washington, he's the CEO of Ethos Cannabis. We had him on the program. He's also going to be hosting now upcoming episodes of our Planting Seeds series with Senator Sherrie Street. He says that Ethos, our mission has been to revolutionize and redefine the boundaries of modern medicine through evidence-based cannabis therapies. With the election now behind us, we have a unique opportunity to unite our efforts and build further momentum toward meaningful change. Full federal legalization would foster innovation, enabling us to deepen our research partnership with Thomas Jefferson University towards advancing cannabis-based treatments for a range of medical conditions, including chronic pain, neurological disorders. We look forward to working collaboratively, with policymakers to establish the best path forward, ensuring cannabis is accessible to those who need it most. And U.S. Cannabis Council Senior Vice President David Culver, who was quoted by NPR, has made the point that he has endorsed the Safe Banking Act, reclassifying cannabis to Schedule 3, supporting cannabis reform that protects consumer safety and prevents youth access. We look forward to working with the administration to advance meaningful federal reform. Well, it looks like, from what we're getting from the commentary here among the community, that the new administration will most likely be receptive. And at least they're going to be doing that. Will that mean we'll see anything going forward for safe banking, reclassification, or full federal legalization? If it's any chance in the near future that we can see that happening, I'm saying that the dominoes are stacked right now because of the potential that it's going to be the presidency, the Senate, and the House all under one majority on one particular political persuasion, which, I mean, it just makes sense that if they're all in step the same way and there's not too much of a gridlock within, which has been for a long time, then I mean, right now in the current state, we have the House that has a particular majority, but then something gets pushed to the Senate and it's a 50-50 vote. And so we have a lot of bills that do not make it through. And if they do, it comes under a very small majority. And that's what happens. Like the last 2 years, we really had nothing really go past and go forward. That was, I mean, obviously we're reported in the news. We see it. You know, we want to find out what's Congress going to do. And if there's going to be something where the states will get more autonomy for themselves, if it's from a federal standpoint, all remains to be seen. But all we can do is have a wait-and-see approach. But personally, I think that we might see, just because of the alignment alone, regardless of what you think politically, could open the door for more things to happen for cannabis. And obviously, it looks like there is a number of people that are cautiously optimistic. I know we still hear that all the time, but I guess it's still a good word to go and say. And like I said, I always give credit to the fact that President Biden moved forward to get the DEA to reschedule, did make the attempt for federal cannabis convictions to be wiped and pardoned. I mean, that was, at least those things were done. I mean, there was something to that. I mean, it might have been somewhat symbolic in nature, but as we said, there have been things we continue to go and follow along, and we'll continue to follow along here on Blunt Business, seeing what happens with it. Now, as I said, I try to go ahead and keep this about as informative and keep any political bias out, but I welcome the floor to any of you that have commentary if you want to reach back out. If you'd like to go ahead and reach back out and have any commentary to me, I'm happy to go and read it back on the air. Email is Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. I open it to you. And just put the subject Blunt Business Election 2024, and feel free to email me. I'll be happy to go and read it on the air. If there's any other people that are on that are listening to the program that obviously would like to appear on the program, that obviously, you know, within your circles, you know, business owners, CEOs, C-level executives, if you want to come on and talk about this and let me know what your take is on it, I'm happy to go and open the floor. So I hope you'll go and do that. Take the email. Feel free to go ahead and reach out to me again. Brasco, B-R-A-S-C-O, at CannabisRadio.com. I'd love to go and hear from you. And with that said, that's it for Blunt Business this week. Come back. We'll have a guest for next week's episode, and we'll talk to you next time.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Are you tired of juggling contacts, manually following up, and deals falling through the cracks? We can fix it so you never lose another lead, enabling 24/7 sales and support via an AI that learns your business. Ready to close more deals with less hassle? Get a free trial of our marketing automation at thebuzzcrm.com.